So native Brits might know of an archetype of man who roams the great plains of suburban Essex, the Dino. If you'd like to understand what that is, we're just going to let this little video play in the background. Your average Love Island or Only Wears Essex contestant or person, right? This video does have Little Dark Age playing, so even though it's a great song, we can't play it for YouTube, but you can go and listen to that in your own time. But you'll see all these sorts of images flurry through, like Stansted Airport, Barrett Homes, Live Island, Superdry, River Island.
All new build homes.
Exactly. The fresh out of the showroom next furniture, cheeky Nando's, a slug and lettuce on a Friday night, which I also don't mind, and a holiday in Ibiza.
This is a bit of a window into British culture in that if you're from elsewhere, you might not have picked up on this archetype of particularly is people in their sort of 20s, early 30s. That's who we have in mind, isn't it?
It's the pampered proletariat. It's basically working class people whose parents and sentiments are still working class, but because of the economic structure of the UK since the 80s, they've had a bit of class mobility in a very consumerist, superficial way. And we're going to go into the economics of it because it's quite interesting. But first, I thought we'd ask the question, are we Dinos, right?
You so there's are.
I'm definitely not a Dino. Right, this has yes, been an internal are. Debate in the office, so you're going to see a little bit behind the scenes. I am not a Dino, and I'll prove it in this segment. We do have a Dino in the office who is not to be named.
If you have to prove it, then it must be true.
Anyway, so we have a little Dino quiz here. Do you live in a new build? No, I don't. Is it a Barrett home? No. Do you live within 7 minutes of a motorway?
That's very specific. 7 minutes, not six or five.
I live near the M25, but I don't think it's seven. Also, I can't drive, so that's fine. Do you have strong opinions on who wins Joshua or Fury fight? Little bit outdated, but most people prefer Tyson Fury because Joshua is rubbish. Do you think Joshua is likely to beat Fury? Have you ever paid for Matchroom Sports boxing pay-per-views on Skybox or Sky Office?
Oh, come on.
That's okay, you got a Dino point. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, see? All smug for a minute ago. Do you own a car? No. Did you buy it on finance? Is it either an Audi A3, a Ford Focus ST?
I like the difference in points there. Do you own a car? 1 point. Yep. Did you buy it on finance? 50 points.
500 points for if it's an Audi A3 or BMW 1 Series.
That is spot on there.
I'd like to submit there as well a Range Rover because get that from family Dinos.
It's particularly women that get the Range Rovers, I think. They get the big car so they can feel safe and then they can run over some poor cyclist and not...
Poor? No, totally justified. Have you not seen the woman from Dartford who nearly ran over the Insulate Britain people that were sitting in the road?
All right, don't make me root for them.
Yeah, no, she got done for dangerous driving when they were gluing themselves to the tarmac. She was just trying to get her kids to school. See? Dino supremacy. They're on our side. Do you either own of the following fragrances? 1 Million by Paco Rabanne or Sauvage by Dior?
This
That's so seven, spot on.
750 points.
Are you wearing either of these fragrances right now? 7,500 points. Do you own a pair of Nike Rocher Runs? I would add boat shoes to that as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you own a pair of Adidas Stan Smiths? Before COVID, did you semi-regularly attend the races? Do you
I've go to the races, to be fair.
There we go. You got the jacket for it. Do you go to a pure gym? So Harry's a Dino. Do you semi-regularly drink Grey Goose?
That's spot on. I'm a former bartender. Grey Goose is definitely the Dino vodka of choice.
Josh, you've got more Dino points than me.
I'm saying I served it. I didn't drink it. I'm more of a rum man myself. Mm, okay. A bit more of a pirate.
If you have to prove it, then...
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't have the hooks for hands or a peg leg, so I'm just a poser.
Are you a fan of the gym kitchen or Y-Protein? All right, you got me there. Fair enough. Do you go to Turtle Bay with your significant other? Would also put down slug and lettuce or all bar one.
Yes.
Do you work in real estate or an adjacent profession like consulting? Lots of these people do. For work and or the races, do you own at least one pair of trousers that look like this?
Hey, that's
for
unfair.
Our audio listeners, Josh's new suit is half countryman, half tramline checkered patterns. So
I said to Beau earlier that I look like Lord Summerisle from The Wicker Man at the minute.
So Josh, officially concerned more Dino than me. I'd also like to submit...
This is slander.
I'd also like to submit the following criteria. Artificially whitened teeth. Skin turned tango by using tanning beds despite living in the UK. Waxes their body hair. No man should do that at all. Shops exclusively in River Island or Misguided or Pretty Little Thing or Boohoo. I do have a coat from Boohoo, to be fair. Wears Canada Goose or North Face jackets despite it never being cold enough in Britain for that level of jacket. And they wear it in the spring.
Yeah, I forbid wearing it in the spring, but in the winter it's fair enough to have a thick coat. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but it's not nearly as cold as Canada, which Canada Goose is named after.
Yeah, but just because it's named Canada Goose doesn't mean it's like, yes, by the way, this is made for minus 40.
Brits in every other part of the country freeze with dignity, damn it. They wear spray-on...
That's because they can't afford their heating, that's why.
Yeah, well, they wear spray-on jeans and boat shoes, but no socks. They walk with flared lats, like the thing in Jurassic Park that spits tar at Newman. Invisible lat syndrome. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah. Well, like that?
Yeah, like wide Putin. Yeah, exactly. They pre-order a next-gen console exclusively to play FIFA on their 70-inch flat screen, which Spot they also on. Bought on yep. finance. Their friendships are organised exclusively around football clubs. Mm-hmm. Doesn't even have to be supporting the same football clubs. You just got to like football.
You've just got to call up the lads to have a discussion about football. I know people like this. Yeah.
They're often found in a Nando's, which is their routine feeding trough. And they're not to be confused with the Geordie boy. Otherwise, Chris Williamson will be upset. So you might recognise a Dino from this popular meme from a little while ago. If you scroll down, please, John, you've got the Birmingham lads in shirts. No, not that one. Obviously, that's the Good Morning Presenters. There we go. These fine gentlemen. this is quite an interesting phenomenon, actually, because this went viral and lots of people were making fun of them. These lads are from the Midlands, so these aren't Essex boys, but the Dino per consumer capitalism is kind of franchising as an archetype that lots of people are
adopting.
It's
a lot of England now, isn't it? Because I knew some down in Devon, so it's travelled quite far.
Yeah, Devon's no longer keeping it in the family, I suppose. but the Dino itself is non-ideological. It's just a way of life, but they don't particularly have any political or philosophical convictions about it. For example, in this, these Dino lads who are wearing the artifice of masculinity with their tattoos and large muscles and looking like they could take you in a fight, even though they're kind of wholesome, they all got very upset about hurty words on the internet and said that they wanted to ban anonymous accounts and have social media IDs. So the Dino doesn't really operate with any philosophical consistency. He just likes his lifestyle and wants to keep it. So they're the kind of trousered ape. There they are.
Don't denigrate yourself like this, Connor.
I'm not a Dino. This is what C.S. Lewis said. When you start stripping the world of any kind of objective philosophical or religious sentiment, then you get the trousered ape who sort of turns up to his 9-to-5 in real estate or consulting or PR and sits down under the floodlights and goes home operating off of base mammalian instincts, but with the artifice of consumerism and a sort of more decadent way of living. His wife is Mrs. Fiat 500. So this is another Substack article that's quite interesting on the topic. If we move to the next one, please, John. So Mrs. Fiat 500's criteria is usually...
It's always in mint colour as well. Or a hot pink or
it's
white.
It's usually white.
I've seen loads of mint ones.
I've never seen a mint Fiat 500. I think
Are
that's
you crazy?
Atrocious.
That's like the most common one you see.
That's egregious.
With women driving it anyway.
Yeah, well, they often usually wear pastel colours or baby pink or rose gold. And their wardrobe is as awful as their interior decor or choice of car. They're usually white blonde, at least slapping on makeup with a trowel. They usually have lip fillers and Botox, despite being in their early 20s. They drive a Fiat 500, also purchased on finance. They shop exclusively at Misguided or Pretty Little Thing, and they're often found at their usual watering holes, which is Slug and Lettuce and All Bar One. And they're usually material rather than maternal. They might have a couple of kids, but they kind of flock around in gaggles like geese. Hear them coming.
They're the kind of people that would have a kid, but then dress them up in designer clothes and then post it on Instagram.
Yeah.
That sort of person.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you don't understand what we're talking about still, I just thought I'd play this amusing little YouTube clip from a YouTube channel, which is rather overlooked. So go and watch his. But
what's it called, by the way?
His channel is called Mock Chop, and he's only got 1,000 subscribers, but he makes some rather hilarious little compilations, so it's a hidden gem. Let's watch the British dream as played out in the life of a Dino, shall we?
Pull up in my grey Audi A3 on finance to my 25-year fixed rate mortgage Barrett new build home after a hard day's work as deputy assistant head of sales targeting. Open the boot and take out my River Island and super dry bags with my lush new gear. Open the door. Yell hello to my wife of 2 years in the kitchen as she is already home from her work as a team leader at a call center. Sit down on my grey velvet sofa bought on sale from Sofology and put my feet up on my IKEA table, whap on the telly just in time to see Bradders going through the rules to the final chase with the contestants who made it through. Perfect timing, as wifey brings through dinner. Another one of Jamie Oliver's cracking 30-minute meals. Tuck in as I pretend to listen to my wife's stories from work.
It's kind of base.
Send a snap to Smithster and Dino, see if they want to come round later to watch the Champions League game on the old 4K OLED, maybe sneak in a few rounds of FIFA.
Pause up there, John.
That was spot on there.
It was spot on, it's brilliant, it's hilarious. Now, the thing is, we can mock these lads for being kind of superficial and being masculine in image, but not very practical, right? It's not like they're working with their hands, but they are very muscular. But there is something kind of wholesome to it.
I think they're still contributing to society. They're not necessarily bad people, but yeah. I think they place too much emphasis on materialism and not upon psychological fulfillment. But then I suppose they've not got the frame of mind to desire quite as much as perhaps someone else.
Yeah, they don't know what they don't have.
Yes.
And so, in a way, that lack of ambition, the lack of wanting to strive for some kind of legacy or properly articulating family values, it keeps them content enough. Now, they seem like happy people.
They live in a blissful state of ignorance, don't they?
Yeah, they're in a bubble. The problem is that bubble's going to pop. And so this segment isn't just for meme value. We're actually going to be looking at the economics of the Dino, because the Dino will soon be a dying breed. Now, if you want to find out about the genealogy of Dinoism, I accidentally alluded to this in an article I wrote around the time of Armistice Day called A National Eulogy, which you can find on our website, and there's an audio track for free as well for anyone who wants to read. But in this, I detailed the fact that people from the East End of London were pushed out both from mass immigration and also enticed out due to council homes being built in places like Basildon and the rest of Essex, and also Kent, where most of my family moved from Poplar and Limehouse into Eltham and Kidbrook and the like. And that's why I'm more of a South East London boy rather than an East London boy now. But you can see where the Dino germinated. The Dino was created as a class because of economic incentives in the baby boomer generation. And this has created the archetype that the Blairites and that Margaret Thatcher wanted to chase. If you go to the Wikipedia article, please, John, of the Essex man, and the Blairites called them the Mondeo man, because
I like how it's got a Wikipedia page, the Essex man.
Yeah, this was actually a core voting block that the neoliberal constituencies on both sides of the political aisle wanted to market themselves to, because they realised, okay, if we create a high-debt consumer capitalist economy, then what's going to happen is the working class are going to get their foot up the ladder, they're going to get used to perpetually consuming, and even though this is an unsustainable way of doing things, they're going to get accustomed to a certain way of life, like buying from River Island or going to Slug and Lettuce or going for a cheeky Nando's, and so we've got to keep convincing them that we're going to keep this machine ticking over to win their votes over time.
They're sort of plastic tree franchises in that they're sort of a soap impression of some higher culture, but made to, it's marketed towards the proles at the same time.
Yeah.
So there's sort of an aspirational element, but it doesn't go the whole hog.
That's why it's always a bit cheesy, but it's not contemptible, because these aren't bad people. It's just an unsustainable lifestyle that's very kitsch. And it's not, there's not much virtue in it. That's the point. So if we can go to the next one, sometimes they produce good policy, though. So this is from Southend-on-Sea, where I have a few friends living as well. One of my friends, his brother used to intern for Sir David Amess before he was stabbed. So even though Southend, again, bit kitschy, very Essex, sometimes they have some good politicians down there. This was a statement from the Southend Council reacting to Oxford's intention to introduce 15-minute cities. And they said, there appears to be now a perception that the city council is considering the same as Oxford. It is categorically not. We always need to learn from what others are saying. The concept of a local area with access to facilities within 15 minutes is something I'm sure a lot of people would welcome. Our local plans seek to protect and improve services in these places. However, the idea of charging for travelling outside a zone is not acceptable in my view, and Oxford is currently reaping the backlash on that. It's not an idea we could support. So, in their instinctive want to preserve their expectation of their living standard, they're like naturally conservative in a way. They're hedonistic, they're decadent, they're not pro-family in the rigid way that we would probably prescribe.
They normally have kids though. Like quite often they have
but they're not
quite young as well.
Yeah, and often there's a lot of stepkids involved, and which you can still have a wholesome family with that, because human relations are complex, but they're not as their family units aren't as integral as a social conservative would be. But they are instinctually conservative, so they're basically like, what, you want to price me out of driving my BMW on finance? Don't like it, ban it. And so it works as a kind of tool to resist the global hegemon, weirdly enough. It's sad, though, that Dino is dying out. So there's this Substack article that was really well written from the guy who put together the Dino criteria from the start, that argues that because the Blairite paradigm is on the way due to 12 years of conservative government, going on 13 now, where their austerity policy did nothing for actually balancing the budget, but instead went from a state of high tax and spend, tried to wean it down, have gone back to high tax and spend again because of the pandemic, that this constituency is going to get alienated from the way things are run. And because inflation is going to kick in, they're going to have less money to go to Mallorca, less money to spend on their Pure Gym membership, less money to spend at River Island.
They can't go to Turkey.
What's wrong with Turkey? No, come on. If you go to Turkey to get your teeth done, like you're some sort of spectator, right, that I really don't like, then yeah, that's cringeworthy. But if you go to Turkey just for the cheap meat and the good booze, mm-hmm. then that's all right. I like
have
Turkey.
Been there, to be fair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, another one of the Dino points. So this Substack article says, the 2015 election, therefore, is something the Tory party have overlearned the wrong lessons from. Austerity did not win the election. It's something that other factors allowed them to overcome. The bottom line still matters. You'll struggle to win elections going on about fiscal responsibility when everyone feels poor and miserable. Again, Dino instinctivism. Corporate tax hikes in 2021 may poll well, but corporations are legal fictions and cannot be taxed. The incidence ultimately falls on employees and shareholders in equal measure. Ultimately, these tax hikes will feed through to living standards. Much of the Tory voting coalition is of retirement age, and so insulated from whatever damage the party inflicts on the economy. Nevertheless, many key swing voters of the party that they need to retain are of working age, especially young men who did not attend university, but nonetheless very much want to make something of themselves and enjoy the finer things in life. The marginal voter is very different from the core voter, and the marginal voter matters more. The Tories need badly for Mr. Dino to vote for them and at least a few Mrs. Fiat 500s, who are normally more instinctively left-wing. So the neoliberalism that built the Dino, that he relies on to exist, will probably die out with the next Labour government. And the Labour government is looking incumbent because the Tory party have just sabotaged the entire country and their own electoral viability. So, and because loads more people are going to university, and even by association, the Dino may not be political, but he's strayed from his home and his Essex roots that have made him a Dino, and that's where the franchising comes from. The Dino is going to be thinned out as a category and also made economically unviable. So this British institution is going the way of the dodo. It's tragic.
I wouldn't quite call it a Dino an institution, but...
It's a staple cultural. Of daily life. There we go. We see him, the happy Dino walking down the street, smiling.
Barely able to move with his tight jeans.
And his flared
visible
lats
out. Yeah.
He's basically just swinging himself with pendulum momentum. It doesn't move his lower body anymore, mainly because he doesn't train his legs as well. So if we also go to the next one, this is a reason that's drawing Dinos away, and we're not going to play this TikTok, but this just compares the average salaries of UK university graduates in the UK versus America. And like, for computer science alone, in the UK you learn 27 grand, and in America you learn upwards of 70. So no wonder people are flying overseas, because the tax rates are really high. The housing costs are abysmal. Most people don't own a house unless they want to inherit it, especially in London. The house deposit is something like 200 grand. So why, if you couldn't live in the nation's capital and you've spent a lot of money on university to then earn below what your debt is every year, why would you bother? That's why loads of people are fleeing. So again, the British pool of social mobility is thinning out, and the Dino is going to go dead. And so this is why the last piece says they're worried about the Dino. And they said, the Dino's contentment comes not only from the security of owning his Barrett home, but also the fact that his material well-being has increased throughout his life. We're potentially going to see 10% inflation this year. It's gotten even worse now. This was from March 2022, so I think it's about 13%. And so his 24-month iPhone 13 Pro Max contract is RPI-linked. The heating cost of his Dino box about to double. For the first time in his life, the cost of living is going to outstrip his increase in wages. It's worth labouring the point. The Dino has never seen inflation. The highest CPI this year has been the highest CPI since the year 2000, which was at 3.8%, and was less than 2% for the 11 years between 2000 and 2020. It's not 11 years, it's 20 years. I'd take a wild guess and say that Dino's basket of goods may have even fallen in real terms over that period, with the exception of boxing pay-per-views, of course. Dino skeptics think that the Dino is going to live his life on the never-never, that credit allows him to live a life he can't afford. But credit simply allows the Dino to bring his consumption forward. The low interest rate environment has allowed him to do that for free. But imagine a Dino with 10K on his credit card and you've misunderstood. What he does have is a car on PCP, not the drug, an iPad spread over 24 months from John Lewis, and his DFS settee on interest-free credit. As these financing products get ever more expensive in the next 18 months, his ability to enjoy the benefits of modern life falls. All of this adds up to one thing. Dino is going to be broadly more exposed than the rest of the country to the cost of living crisis, as you've been reading about it in the news. So because the Dino lives his life on borrowed finance to achieve his living standard, he's going to be left more out in the cold, quite literally because of heating costs, and financially speaking, because all of his income is going to be diminished over time with the amount of outgoing costs that he has to maintain his lifestyle. And so the superficiality of being seen as a Dino from a distance is just going to go naturally by the wayside. The Dino is going to be a dead breed because of the economic policy in the UK.
They're going to be dragged back down to what they were trying to escape, basically.
Yes. And so it's going to have a sort of feudal system of the upper political class having very decadent meals in Parliament off of expenses, and the rest of us proles eating bugs in pods. And we're going to long for the days that the Dino was the aspirational man. Well, you know what they say. Hard times make strong men. Strong men make good times. Good times make Dinos. Dinos make hard times.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content that's on the site, such as the Symposium series, this one on Oakeshott's conservatism. If you'd like to find out what else is being put out, you can follow on Getter at lotuseaters_com on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.